Podcast with Kevin, Efren, and Chip, your typical disgruntled Army veterans who've come together for their passion of all things bourbon and whiskey. Stay tuned for honest reviews, whiskey banter, and information from the whiskey world.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Bourbon Brigade podcast. I'm Chip, and with me, as always, is Kevin and Efren.
Yo.
Howdy. Efren's rocking a Buffalo Trace sweatshirt. Your tater.
Yeah.
And it's a store pick.
Literally a store pick. Oh my gosh.
Store pick sweatshirt.
Efren, that was an amazing dad joke.
So what are we doing tonight?
Little Henry McKenna 10-year.
Oh yeah,
a good one. Like we talked about earlier, I haven't had this in a very long time. It's just been sitting on my shelf for months. I think it's the last time I had it.
So we're talking the Henry McKenna 10-year bottled in bond, and it is boom, right there.
Boom. 100%.
Right?
Yep.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. Bottom bond. Got to be 100 proof. Kevin, you like, I threw on a sticker real quick so I could
catch
you.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Henry McKenna 10-year. Mine was barreled on 6/21/2011.
Mine was November 5th, 2009.
And mine was November 16th, 2009.
Man, there are twinsies.
Yeah.
Kind of curious if we're going to pull some like different notes off this because, you know, it's like 2 years.
Yeah, that's a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
I think this is a really solid bottle. Honestly, when I first got it, I was like really excited. I was like, I found it when I first started really getting into bourbon. I was like, hell yeah, everyone talks about this. And I was very excited to get it. And I know why it's, you know, sought after. It's a really good bottle.
Yeah, absolutely. I went out and I grabbed a few bottles because my store told me the price was going up, probably about $15 a bottle.
Yeah.
So I grabbed three at the lower price just to have some on hand. And now I think it's like, and that store is pretty reasonable. And I think they want like $62 the bottle for it.
Wow. Yeah, that definitely went up $15 because I think I haven't bought it. I've seen Bill's had it recently, but I don't know. I'm going to have to ask that question now because I don't know.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if the price went up in you guys' areas.
Yeah.
I haven't bought one in a while, but around me it was $49.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I bought mine, $45.
Yeah, it's about the same as me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm gonna pour me some. Right. We're gonna kind of see what we get on this, guys. I will say there are some 10 years out there that just aren't that great. Like the Bullet Bourbon 10 year.
Yeah.
It's not that great. It's okay.
Probably not.
Same price point, around $40, $50. You can find it. And this one,
side note, yeah. since we're on a bullet tangent, why do the corks never fit in the bottle? Why are they always loose?
I don't know. I have to put like extra cork because I save all my corks. I have to find a cork to fit because those just dry out. The next thing you know,
even I feel like even like day one they don't fit in. They're too loose for the bottle. I don't know.
The bullet?
Yes,
bullet. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't own a bullet, so
that's a good question. Damn. I literally have that problem. I have to put like other corks in the bullet.
Can't be the only one.
No, like we can't.
I had a barrel strength store pick one time at the PX. and I put it in the cart, and it was tilted on its side and leaked all over the place.
Maybe we should call them and tell them that their pork suck.
You think they don't know? Like, they gotta know, right? Like, at this point, it's got to be just a choice. I mean, somebody's complained, right?
I don't know much about Bullet. I know they source. Do they still source? I know they source. I don't know who they. I really don't really care for Bullet, honestly. It's
not a huge fan.
No, I'm not either.
No, yeah, it's a mixer for me.
I've tried it, but I just never bought a bottle. Was, I don't know. For the price point, I think you can pick up a lot better bottles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I've been kind of curious. I've seen their the Blender Select. It's a barrel-proof Blender Select.
I actually have one of those.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You send out samples. We should do a Bullet.
I actually think you're going to be slightly surprised at it.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I'm not going to go out on a limb and say you're going to like it, but you're going to be a little bit surprised anyway.
I know Bills did a pick, but it's crazy how all the store picks for Bullet are always 104. I feel like if they were just a little bit higher, so really? Much better. Yeah. But he had one really good pick that I had. It was actually pretty good. Okay. It's all coming back to me now. Supposedly it's supposed to be sourced from Roses.
From Four Roses?
Yeah, Four Roses.
Okay. Huh. I didn't know that.
That may be coming straight out of my ass.
Yeah, well,
but
it's Bullet, so maybe it is.
Yeah. I really hope if you send samples, you send that one. But now I'm really curious.
I was gonna say if I'm gonna pull a bottle and drink a Bullet for some reason, it's gonna be that one.
Okay.
I mean, without trying to give too much away.
Well, the Class 6, they have it's a military store pick, I guess. I don't know. I've mm-hmm. seen it. Just haven't.
Mine might be urge. Too. No. Kind of curious now, but whatever. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Maybe we should do Bullet one day.
Mm.
Show them some love. You know, they were on Yellowstone. You know, they should be. That's probably where they get most of the revenue from. People see it on Yellowstone. Gosh. Yeah.
So, back to the Henry.
Yeah. Oops.
Sidetrack. Right? That's a good sidetrack, though.
Yeah.
Actually, almost turned into a Bullet episode.
It did. All because of the damn corks.
I know. Cork. Why? So, what do we got? It's bottled in bond. Anyone know this story? Who's Henry McKenna?
I don't know.
You can make up some a complete lie. I wouldn't know. Just make up.
Well, it says he was from Ireland.
Makes sense.
1837, he moved from Ireland and had a recipe for bourbon and moved to Kentucky.
Yeah.
I got the little pamphlet there.
Oh, shit.
Tells you a little bit of story about him.
Yeah. 1837.
All this knowledge.
I did my research.
Tell my kids.
Well, that's crazy. That's crazy. He came to America in 1837 and settled in Kentucky, where he set out to create a better bourbon. They drink bourbon over there? In Ireland?
No.
Maybe he had a sample and really liked it.
Maybe, was that what they could get for barrels? Was the char? I feel like,
yeah,
you know, throw an Irish whiskey to a
char. Good question. Was that the standard back then that it is today?
I don't know.
Were they aged in bourbon barrels?
Wow. Welcome to the bourbon podcast where we don't know anything.
Bourbon Brigade podcast. Bourbon Brigade. You know.
We're just some dudes. Drinking bourbon.
Drinking bourbon.
I don't know.
Masters of something, not everything.
Not everything. A little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that sounds like reasonable in my head.
Yeah, it does. I agree with that.
It says on here, he insisted to have his bourbon aged in the barrels, which was highly unlikely back in those days. It doesn't say he was the inventor of it, but he was one of the people that insisted that his bourbon be aged in the barrels.
Well, he apparently found some bourbon somewhere in Ireland and really enjoyed it, and he was so passionate that he moved across an ocean.
Well, I think there was a pretty big export at the time.
There might have been. There might have been, yeah. That's way before Prohibition.
River and Bourbon Street in Louisiana and all that.
Yeah. Yep.
Weird getting into some history.
I know.
Know very little about. I think I heard something.
So I want to point out one thing on the nose that just keeps coming back to me. You guys probably got it too. It's a hard note to explain, but sweet oak. A lot of sweet oak. It's so good. I think it's
sweet. Definitely like sweet, almost like a simple syrup.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Honey?
Yeah. Little bit of like some honey. And I actually get some char in this. I get more barrel, which you should expect in a 10-year. I get a lot of barrel, and it's a really good barrel.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely more oaky than some of the other 10-years that are out. I mean,
I want to say it's a char 4 just off the nose. There's no way that could be a 3. I have to find out.
This is kind of do some like forensic back work after the episode to find out what's going on.
It's so good. I love level 4 char. It's my favorite.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So Efren, what note sticks out the most to you?
To me, it's the honey.
I'm getting that now too. I'm getting like a honey crisp apple. Like it's small, like I get that.
Now that you put that thought in there, it's like, yeah, honey.
It's there.
You ever have that happen? Like somebody's like, I get shoe leather and you're like, huh. Is that what that tastes like?
Yeah, I get the apple too now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you get it. It's like almost like a sour apple, but like.
Yeah, it's one of those the ones you bake pies with, Granny Smith.
Smith. Granny Smith are the green ones, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Green ones. Yep.
I hate apple pie, so. I shouldn't say as a kid, my mom would bake like 20 pies, and she would put them, she'd pre-make them and then put them in the freezer downstairs, the extra freezer. But we would have to peel, us as the kids, we would have to peel all those apples. So finally, I got tired of peeling apples, and I said, I'm not peeling anymore. And she told me, well, you don't have to eat apple pie then. And I was like, good. I don't like apple pie.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm so tired of that. I didn't like apple pie.
That's too damn bad.
That's pretty good.
Taste.
It lingers.
I almost want to say the nose is better than the palate.
Yeah, the nose is pretty good, actually.
Nose. Wow. Palate's good. I'm not saying it's bad, but the nose, that's one of the better noses I've had.
And ours is different. Ours is different, right?
Like, yeah.
Because they're all single barrels.
Yeah.
Mine dissipates really fast.
Does it? I get a little
like intense. It does. That's intense exactly in the front, what it is.
And then it just kind of.
So yep. I am left with just oak.
Yes. Yep. Those tannins right there.
Everything else falls off, and it's just the oak tannins, like you said.
Yep. Mm-hmm. If only a barrel proof, but I mean, you would just get Elijah Craig barrel. Yeah. How long has your finger been on that button?
Well, you know, a couple minutes anyway. Been waiting for the right spot. And speaking of the right spot, if you're still sticking around watching this, go ahead and follow all these things down here. Do the stuff. Click the buttons.
Yep.
And, you know, do follow. The stuff. Yeah, do the stuff.
How many people we got?
So far, I think we have 95 followers on Facebook or subs on Facebook. And
we're not streaming live. We're just live recording live to put on YouTube.
So this will be recorded, released Saturday, I think.
Yeah.
So if you're seeing this, it's Saturday. If everything went to plan.
I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving then.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Me too.
I was going to pour. I know you guys were talking earlier about after we did whatever bottle we were going to talk about. A little wild turkey for Thanksgiving. I didn't have any wild turkey, but I have the pigskin batch, Booker's. Everyone watches football on Turkey Day, so.
Yeah.
Those would be my drink.
All right. I've got a little story about wild turkey I can share here soon. I'm going to stick around. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
Finish up this McKenna real quick, and we'll get into that.
Yeah. So I think the proof just kind of stops us in its tracks, you know, and then you're just left with that barrel. Sure. But it's still really good. $40 bottle, $50 maybe.
So do you think this is a case where, like, maybe the bottled and bond 100 proof, like, hard point is maybe holding it back a little?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. I think ripping off that bottle and bond tag would take this thing.
I would love to taste a barrel strength McKenna. Like,
I would too.
Yeah. That'd be pretty good.
I think it does too. I think that's why you get all that flavor up front, and then it just kind of, you're like, okay, keep going. Oh no, it's gone. But I think if it was a little higher in proof, it would help.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, not everyone enjoys like barrel proof, so I could see where there's a market for this for sure. And this would
This is a really good.
It's a good sipper.
Bourbon. Yeah. I'm enjoying it.
It's a good sipper.
Yeah, I really do. I like the label. So, like, I'm kind of drawn to aesthetics. So, things that look cool, I think, are sweet. I like how this is like, it looks like money, honestly. Look at
it. Yeah, it really does. Yeah, the neck tag and everything. It's got that like filigree, like a $100 bill would have, an old $100 bill.
Yeah. Yeah. Good bottle.
It is.
Yeah. What would you guys rate this as? Remember, our rating scheme is far exceeded the standard, that standard did not meet the standard.
So if I'm looking at a 10-year, like apples to apples, 10-year, I can't really do a bottled and bond and get a good cross section, but 10-year, I would say this exceeds the standard.
Yeah.
Now you got to remember that this is kind of hard for people to find too, so we got to throw that availability in there.
Yeah, that's true.
So
well, it's definitely met the standard for me. It's exceeded it a little bit anyway.
Yeah.
I would say exceeds the standard at the price point now.
Yeah.
If they bring it up to that extra $15, then it just meets the standard. It's but I think for $49, I think it's a fantastic bottle. It's an easy sipper and something you want to share with someone else. You know, it's at that price point where it's not like you spent over $100 and you're like, do I really like this guy to give him some of this?
So. No, good point. Good point. I'm going to second that and say exceeded the standard at the current price, but like you said, $15 more, it's just going to meet the standard. You know? So it's probably another 10 year out there.
That's
a little bit higher proof you could find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now a little turkey.
Yeah.
Or you're having Booker's.
I'm going to have some. Yeah. Booker's pigskin batch. It was my first Booker's ever. And man, it's so good.
There she is. So my story is why I will always keep a bottle of Wild Turkey 101 in my bar. And it's a good story. It's a Thanksgiving story.
Gobble, gobble.
Yeah. So if you want to hear a story about a few snipers running around Baghdad and the connection with Wild Turkey and Thanksgiving, pay attention, because here it goes.
I definitely want to hear this.
So it was, you know, obviously we're in Iraq, Baghdad, 2005. And it was the day before Thanksgiving. And my commander finds me and he's like, hey, Sergeant Duquette, you know, we got an op order, 2 hours. You guys got a mission, blah, blah, blah. You know, we'll give you the specifics, but just, you know, get you guys ready. So I go back, tell my guys like, hey, you know, op order this evening after chow. I'm going to brief it to you guys, blah, blah, blah. Don't know what it is yet, but we got a mission. Commander was kind of vague. So I was just like, you know, kind of a general order, like, you know, just start generally getting your shit ready and whatever. I mean, at this point, it's November. We got there in January, so we've been there a while. We're in the groove at this point. You know what I mean? Like, it's things are rolling. So, like, our stuff's pretty much ready all the time. I mean, it's like we're doing something outside the wire at least like once every day, every other day at this point. And this was during the push. Like, there was a lot going on in 05. Yeah. You know,
2005.
So I get the op order from my commander and, you know, he's like, he basically like lays it out what he wants, where, you know, where we're supposed to be overwatching. And, I'm like, you know, hey, that's great. I need to recon this area and I need to make sure it's viable. Checked it out, done a map recon. Everything looks cool from the map, but I need to get on the ground. He says, okay, later on tonight, you and your my number two guy, we'll call him Scary Terry. he's like, you guys can come, you be Bradley commanders, two Bradleys, and we'll run up and down the road a couple times like normal, like a normal presence patrol would be every night.
Yep.
And we'll go by the place where we're supposed to set up our hide site. So I'm like, yeah, that works, you know? So I'm like, I don't know. I've never, at this point, I'm like, I'm in a Bradley and I'm like moving the turret around. I was like, yeah, this is cool. You know, like, pretty awesome. But yeah, we rode good crew. These guys were great. They brought us up and down, like made sure we got what we needed and I was able to formulate a good plan. I went back and I like hashed some stuff out with him, like where our infill was going to be, like where we're going to get dropped off, where we're going to do this, that, you know, like a couple of reference points for like contingency plans and stuff like that. So one of the things we had to do was like, now, okay, we're going to this house. This is a house, people live in it, you know? So now we have to not only get dropped off somewhere in the middle of Baghdad in the middle of the night or very, very early morning, and we have to basically sneak through the alleyways and streets, get to this house. Now we have to sneak into the house because we don't want to alert anyone that we're coming in. We have to sneak in. We have to basically sequester this family and sort of brief them what's going on. Like, they're not going to be able to leave for 48 to 72 hours. And, you know, I had an interpreter with me. My interpreter was, he was amazing. One of the best ones there was by far. We'll call him a Tall Anthony. So Tall Anthony, like, we get there and his job is to basically just converse with them, see what, you know, just kind of comfort them to make sure they're not going to like freak out while they're, you know, cause a big problem, you know. And he's kind of an intimidating dude, so they're, you know, it helps. You know, anyway, yeah, so we get dropped off. It's like 2:45 in the morning, and we're about three blocks away from the house, as we don't want to like raise any suspicions or whatever, like around where we're going to be for a few days. Excuse me. So we sneak into this, the like down the street up to the house. We get in, and it was, I mean, it couldn't have been any better. There was like, the door had little windows beside it. So one of my buddies was able to like, you know, one of my guys put his hat, like one of his like hat or whatever he had in his pocket. And he just like tapped the window till the glass broke out, and it was like pretty quiet. And he reached in and grabbed the doorknob and just opened, like unlocked the door and opened it. So we walked in, and, you know, like we like woke these people up out of their bed. And I was like, a bunch of kitted up dudes standing over them, like, hey, how you doing? You know, so we get them up. The interpreter goes, like, we get them all into the kitchen. He unzip ties them and everything. And like, turns out like he's a Iraqi, like a police officer. So he's like cool with everything. You know, at this point, they're not, you know, they're pretty good at this point. I mean, they're not great, but you never know. You get what you get. Yeah. So he seemed to be like kind of one of the ones that were, we'll say, like switched on sort of, you know. So he was kind of like all about it. He was you could tell he was like buying into the mission and stuff like that. So he was cool. But the woman in the house is like, I have, you know, we have a problem. I have no food in the house, and there's like six people. She's like, I have no food. I was going to go to the grocery store tomorrow. I literally have no food. And like, Tony's like opening things and looking around. He's like, she has no food. I'm like, yeah. Oh, great. You know, like, why not just throw a little, you know,
a little wrench in the gear.
Yeah. Why not just, you know, add a little bit to this? So I like grab Tony. I'm like, hey, I always carry like $200 or $300 of like, oh shit money that the battalion gave me, just in case some stuff goes down and I need to do something. I have like some cash on me. Yeah. So I'm like, hey, and he always carried civilian clothes in case, like just a contingency plan. And I was like, if I give you $100 of this, can you buy enough groceries for, you know, 3 days or whatever? He's like, I can buy enough groceries for like a month with $100. I'm like, all right, well, here's $100. You'll buy what you can, you know, whatever, and get it back here for him. So they'll, you know, it'll be a nice calm situation. He's like, all right. And just before he leaves, I'm like, hey, Tony. He's like, yeah. I'm like, if you happen to see a bottle of whiskey, grab it. And he starts laughing. He's like, oh, I have to go to the green zone. Yeah. And he leaves. And that was kind of like just sort of half joking. You know what I mean? And,
Yeah.
So he takes off, and I'm like up there. We're just basically, you know, conducting our operations. And, you know, hour goes by, 2 hours go by, and I'm like, okay, starting to get a little worried here. Like, old Tall Anthony's like, he's running around Baghdad somewhere. I don't know. Hopefully, like, he didn't, you know, get hemmed up somewhere or something like that. No. About the third hour, I'm starting to think like, man, I am really, really going to have to like explain what the heck happened to my interpreter. at this point, like, oh, he's gone, you know, like, I have no idea what happened to him. I mean, be like, well, where's your terp? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. So, you know, I'm kind of sweating bullets at this point. And like, it was probably like 3.5 hours. I was pretty much pacing around and he shows back up and he's got a ton. Nice. Of, it was in a cab. He had all kinds of bags of groceries. He brings them in and, you know, they put it all in the kitchen and they're going over it and everything like that. And he comes upstairs and he's like, hey, you know, you guys okay? You know, blah, blah, blah. Sorry, I was gone so long. You know, I get held up and this and that. And he's like, you know, how it goes, checkpoints. And I'm like, yeah, no problem. You know? And, he's like, oh, and here, and he pulls out a pint bottle of good old Wild Turkey 101.
Oh, man.
Like, are you kidding me? Like, and it's Thanksgiving Day right now, right? And he pulls out Wild Turkey 101. Like, he has no idea.
Dude.
You know what I mean? He has no idea. I'm like, what are the odds that that's the bottle you pull out? Right? So I'm like, oh, thanks. You know, I took it. And I kind of like, I sort of had like an ethical dilemma. Like, hold on, we're on a mission. Do I let my guys have some? So I was like, yeah, you can have a sip. You know, we eat dinner. Yeah, yeah. You have a sip or whatever. You know, not if you're obviously like on the gun, but, yeah. You know, so we're sitting there and we can smell food that she's cooking downstairs and like she's cooking all this stuff, like these, all kinds of stuff. And we're like, man, this smells so good. And all of a sudden, Tony's like, hey, she wants to give you guys some food. So we
nice.
Quickly discussed it for a couple minutes. And we're like, yeah, you know, have her bring it up. So she brings up these like trays of food. And they're just feeding us. And food was amazing. So yeah. I, you know, pulled the pint bottle out. And this is the first time everyone's seen it. And they're like, are you kidding me? You know, and like, I'm like, sip, you know, whatever, you know, have some food, take a sip and we'll. I'll put it in my pack. Like, so, you know, we did that. And anyway, the, you know, Thanksgiving, middle of Baghdad, we've got this spread of food put on, you know, and some wild turkey to wash it down. It was great. The mission was a great success. You know, like everything went fine. We got back and man, my guys were so motivated. They were so like hyped,
yep.
You know, like everything was like, yeah, this is, you know, this is badass. You could tell it was just like re-energized everybody.
Yeah.
So to this day, this bottle will always be at my bar. Dude. And I always have a drink around Thanksgiving. So that's my story.
You Cheers. Could not. Yeah. You could not make that story up. That's an awesome story. You know, we all know how it can be over there and you got to take the good things, you know, with the bad things. That's it makes me want to go get a bottle of 101 right now.
And it's good for its price point. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Wild Turkey 101 is pretty darn good. Or it is. Is it like 18 bucks?
Yeah.
18 bucks.
Is it really 18?
I think it's that cheap.
Yeah. Wow, it's below $20.
Yeah. Oh, you got the rare breed out.
Yeah, I got the rare breed out.
Oh, I love that. So good.
Mm-hmm. So, I got the rye too, but I couldn't find it.
Yeah, I have the rye. Yeah, I've become quite a Wild Turkey fan since then.
Mm-hmm. I have not had the rye yet. I need a sample of that because I heard it's like closer to the 51%
mm-hmm.
rye mash bill. I cannot stand that mash bill, honestly. It's my least favorite.
It's good.
It's pretty good for what it is.
I need a sample.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get you one.
Sample. But I don't have any wild turkey other than an unopened master's keep that I'm waiting. I don't know what I'm waiting for.
Yeah.
Which one is it?
One.
The one?
Toast.
One?
Yeah. Toasted.
Yeah, that's the one I got.
That's the one.
Right. Right.
It's hard, isn't it?
Right there.
Where am I? Where am I?
Right there.
There's
doing things.
There's the name.
So or to be in the spirit of Thanksgiving. Closest thing I got is a Booker's pigskin batch.
It's a good one.
2003. Yes, this was my first Booker's, and damn, it's really, really good.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one.
Like, I like aesthetics. This thing comes with like a card information, awesome case.
It's got all the things.
And I hear people pay $100 for it. No, on base, I get it for $67.
That's a great price.
And I think buy it every time. $67.
Really?
Yeah. Next time I see it, I'll send a picture to you guys. Yeah. On it.
I pay $100.
You're $100?
Yeah.
Probably pushing $100. I think it's at least in the 90s here, like 93 to 95.
I've watched a couple of reviews, and apparently the most recent one is killer. Like, it hasn't been this good since the last probably 2 years, since Pigskin.
Okay. Which one is that one?
2203? Yeah. Yeah, 2203. The newest one that was released.
I'm pretty sure I saw that today in my local store, but at the price point, a lot of times I'll pass it up. I hear some reviews on it or something like that. And then if I hear it's like a really good batch, I'll look at it. You know.
The new one is supposed to be fire. So
really?
Yes. Interesting.
Yep. It's kind of like when they put out the little book. This last little one they put out.
Yeah.
That was But the last one they put out, it was like 4 year bourbon with and they wanted like
brown rice bourbon
for it.
Brown rice bourbon. I know they've done a lot of experimental stuff, which people don't think Jim Beam does experimental stuff, but they really do.
Yeah.
I heard it was really good though. Like, I heard some reviews that said this little book was super complex. So, it may be.
Really?
I might have the one before that one. Yeah. I might have the one before the current release.
Yeah, but I do too. I have 2021 release.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I have.
It's good.
Anyway, it's pretty good. It is. Well, I guess this is as good a point as any to kind of wrap it up here. Yep. So, well, I'd like to say cheers, everybody. Thanks for watching the Bourbon Brigade. And like I said, like, follow, comment, subscribe, do all the stuff, click all the buttons. Follow us. We've got more content coming out. We're going to try to be coming out every Saturday or so. And until then, we'll see you. Whiskey 101 out.
See ya.